We're about to go to Chocolate City.
Let's get it!
The capital of the United States.
Woo! You know, haters are haters, you know. They control the mouth.
Merry Christmas, little man!
Commitment to fucking playing defense.
I'm not eating cat food either.
What's this all about? We're on the Kiss Cam. Feel a little reluctant to take that.
How sweet.
That thing was really strong.
Look out, Danae and Butler. Butting heads, looking at each other.
Broadcasting from the capital of the free world, this is Zardcast.
Welcome to Zardcast. I'm your host, C.T. Schwenk. Thank you for joining us here in Washington, D.C. this Thursday, March 31st, 2016. We're back under sad circumstances here. Before we get into it all, follow us on Twitter, at Zardcast. Subscribe on iTunes, Overcast, Google Play, whatever you use to listen to the show. Really, you should just tell a friend. Above all, we decided that listening is the baseline, but telling a friend is going above and beyond. So please do that if you enjoy what you hear. Top of the show here, no Duncan. Emergency trip to Puerto Rico. We'll drag him back in here soon enough. But my friend Dave is here. Dave, how are you?
I'm here.
You're here.
Mm-hmm.
You decided beforehand that this whole season, big practical joke on us.
It was. It was a good bit they were doing.
We're not doing the wacky bits. We're going to talk about the Wizards, and that is just like a season-long bit.
They got us.
Yeah, they really fucking did. Also, joining us this evening, dear friend of the pod, Malcolm Johnson is on the line. Malcolm, how are you, sir?
Good. What's going on, boys? Glad to be here.
It's been too long. We're happy to have you here. Malcolm, if you live in Southwest Florida, he will appear on your television screen, his handsome face. But for now, you're just going to have to settle for his beautiful voice. At Malcolm's Media on Twitter.
All right.
You said you pushed me into this a little bit. I'm sorry I didn't really – I guess we haven't had a whole lot of guests on until recently. So we're glad you're back. So, and because you are a TV guy, I figured we'd go A-block here. Discuss a big picture. Big picture Wiz stuff. The Wizards, their playoff hopes, basically about as thick as a coaster is what I decided when I was getting ready for the podcast.
You're just looking at things around you. Like, yeah. What is a thin thing near me? You know, a coaster?
That's pretty much it. So
that's fair.
All those playoff predictors, they have the Wizards' chances of making the playoffs anywhere from 2 to 7%. I'd say that's about coaster size. They basically, so over the last week, since we last spoke to the Zardcast audience, they really blew it against the Timberwolves at home in the phone booth. That was a huge dagger. But then last night, they basically devolve against the Kings. They allow 120 points for the eighth time this season, look mostly dysfunctional, and it's basically over for the Wizards. Malcolm, when you reached out last week, we thought we'd have a couple more upbeat things to talk about, but it's pretty much at least one shovel full of dirt in the ground there. How you feeling about this team at the moment? I guess there's really only one way to feel about them.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. I think when I nudged you a little bit last week to get back on the cast, John Wall had his second triple-double back-to-back. So things are on a high. And that was just a week ago. Like Jay says, it was all good just a week ago. And now here we are. We're losing to the lowly Sacramento Kings. I think they've been eliminated from the playoff hunt for about a month now. In the midst of all their drama and controversy out there, they've got more snakes in the grass. The players have been tweeting out. I don't know if you guys have been keeping up with that, but DeMarcus did it earlier this year. They're as dysfunctional of a team as there is in the league with all 32 teams. And to go out there, the boys knew what they had to accomplish in this West Coast road trip. They knew that they had to win a certain amount of games. You figured that they wouldn't get the one against the Warriors because they're the Warriors. And at a certain point, they were going to go Golden State. Even though we've played Golden State fairly decent in the times that I've seen us play against them. Even though Curry dropped 50 or 52, whatever it was that he did in the last night of this year. But it just seemed like more the same and a step back. You know, if we're going to compare ourselves to where we were at this point last year, going in with the fifth seed in the conference and bowing out in this second round of the playoffs, and here we are not even making the playoffs. It'd be nice if we made the playoffs, but even so, what would that really say or do? Would that put us in that middle stage there? You know, say we made the playoffs, is it really a good thing for this team? Would we say, okay, this is a good, solid squad here. We made the playoffs. We can move forward with this roster. That's not the case. Those would be false pretenses, and we'd be selling ourselves on a lie, continuing with this roster and lineup that we have. And so maybe to not make the playoffs could be trying to find a silver lining here, but maybe a blessing in disguise in that they really evaluate the talent. They say Nene is no longer in the books. We got some guys on the wings who aren't on the books. And maybe we can just jump ship from this this slow, progressive kind of style that we had going and kind of change our playing style. So I see it as a chance to improve upon some of the things that we have within this lineup that clearly needs help.
So maybe it ends up being a good thing overall that they, I mean, maybe not overall, but there is some silver lining to be had there in looking toward the future. I like your passion. Normally Dave is the passionate one about the Wizards, and he's like flatlined at this point. He's got nothing over
Understandably
there.
Understandably so. I get it. I think I'm still passionate because I don't see it every night. Like, you guys live back home, so you're watching Philson and see Buckhantz every night, and you're seeing the drum every night. I don't have time to watch the Wiz every night, and in top of court, they obviously don't air it every night. But I'm looking at it with an objective approach, you know, as a fan, but I realize you got to let go of Whitman because his contract is up. You got to let go of, I like to keep him there. But there's some other guys on the books who you can let go of and maybe change the playing style. We were slow last year. We tried to speed it up with the smaller lineup this year. Take a second, Ernie, if we keep Ernie, possibly reevaluate the way that we want to play the game.
This kind of spreads out. We can go at this a couple ways here. I agree with you on the style play. I mean, first and foremost, Randy Whitman's got to go before anything else is done. Randy is gone. And, you know, while I guess it was like kind of fun and exciting to be like, oh, yeah, the Wizards could like play fast all the time, I think ultimately that is what ended up doing them in defensively and, you know, trying to get that, squeeze that effort out on that end of the court every single night. And, I mean, they kind of botched the rollout of the offense altogether. It didn't really come together until, you know, 2 months in. It wasn't until January, maybe even February. I don't know.
In hindsight, when preseason was starting and Randy Whitman was like, yeah, we're going to play faster, we're going to shoot more threes, and we're going to do that by putting Chris Humphreys out on the three-point line, we should have known then, in retrospect, that he didn't know what the fuck he was doing. How naive we were back then. Like, he's shooting 36% from three in the preseason. Like, maybe he could be a stretch four. He can't dribble or pass or, like, not look at his own feet before he shoots a three, but...
Yeah,
we sold ourselves on the hype.
Yep.
It was kind of crazy to think that Randy Whitman would be the one to implement this sweeping new style of play after he basically lucked into small ball last year. So for him to take in a
this
step
is a guy
forward.
That married Kim Kardashian just for publicity. That's all that I need to know about him as a man, to know what he can do as a basketball player. So for us to think that he could be a stretch four is a problem on our part. You know what I mean? That's our problem.
I think, you know, we all, I think the consensus across the board, Randy's got to go. But I feel like the more I've thought about it, I think we might still see Ernie Grunfeld next year. I think he still might be hopping around the halls of the Ryzen Center. I kind of feel like Ted might not give him the axe after all this. Do you think he should get the axe? I mean, I think he should.
I think
he's made some good plays. Go ahead.
Well, I think, he has made some good moves. And I think if there was something that just needed like a little bit of tinkering, I could understand them keeping him around. But at this point, with, like you said, Malcolm, so many guys coming off the books, you need an overhaul. You need this team going in a new, like entirely new direction. And that's the one thing that Grunfeld has never really had, is like an overarching vision or like a big idea for what the team is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Other than the big three that you can say he assembled, because he did put that team together with Karan Butler, Antoine Jameson, and Gilbert Arenas. That is his doing. And he's made some smart moves like that. I thought that was good. And he's responsible for picking up John Wall, but that was a no-brainer. He's also responsible for trading away that fifth pick. And we all know what Steph Curry is doing now. And it'd be nice to see him in a Wizards uniform, that's for sure. But, you know, other teams passed on him too. But I think for any job that one carries in this world, if you were given more than enough time to prove your worth, and over that time you're not able to accomplish on the biggest or highest scale in which you're expected to do, and he's had this job for over 10 years, I believe now, then you have to be reviewed. You're assessed. Your performance has to be assessed. And someone has to say, either you've done this much, you've done that much, you've done that much. And if you look at Ernie, you can say, you haven't done enough, because we haven't made it to the Eastern Conference Finals once under his tenure in many years in which the East was winnable. This year, more than many others.
Absolutely.
Or at least you could compete. You should be top four, top five in this East, which changes every other day. But to lose some 30-some-odd games or whatever it is that we've lost, you know, if not now, when?
Yeah, it just need a sweeping change in the organization. I think one thing certainly Ernie or the new GM is going to have to contend with. I want to get your opinion on Malcolm. Bradley Beal is up for a contract. Some would say a max contract. Do the Wizards have to pay him? Do you think there's even a market for a max contract for Bradley Beal? I feel like we might get to the offseason and, you know, I obviously, you know, there could be some crazy team out there. Like, it's like, oh yeah, we'll throw in the max, no big deal. But he doesn't really deserve it. He hasn't spent enough time on the court to warrant it. What do you think the Wizards got to do?
Yeah, I think he's been a little bit frail and fragile. He's been injury prone, which is a surprise because his older brothers, you know, raised the young boy to be a tough man. And if you look at Brad, Brad's just a stock kid. You know, he's a big kid. I can remember doing some interviews with him and thinking, this kid's not built like a two guard. He's built more like a free safety a little bit. But he's had some bad injuries. Performance-wise, he hasn't done enough to deserve a max contract. And I think Brad would be the first to tell you that, because accountability is nothing. He's short upon giving us from his own heart. He took, just listened last night and talked about the lack of effort that the team put forth. Max contract, yes or no, I wouldn't offer him a max contract. Maybe try and find a short-term deal, you know, and see if he can work something out. But when him and John Wall are working, they're in the top five backcourts in the league, that's no question. You want to see that thing work itself out, you know? Steph's ankles eventually got good, and Under Armour made these shoes that are like fucking wrestling cleats, and his ankles can't be broken at this point, and now we're seeing what he was able to become. Brad is starting to get to that point, so offer him something to say, but what do you guys think?
Dave, what do you think about the idea of being like, you know what, he's not really worth the max, let's press on without him? Do you think that's a viable option?
I don't. I don't think there's any question somebody's going to throw the max at him, especially because I can see a ton of other front offices who are definitely known for a little bit of hubris, being like, well, Randy Whitman's just an idiot. I can figure out how to make this guy. Because anybody watch, I mean, one out of every five games you watch him play, and you're like, obviously this guy is a max player, future all-star. So I'm sure there's at least one team out there that's like, I can turn this guy into an all-star, just got to unleash him in the right way. So I don't think there's any question someone will offer it to him. And I don't think the Wizards have any real option here. I think the message that would send to John Wall, unless John Wall doesn't want him, I don't think they can send that message to him that, you know, we're going to try to find it somewhere else. Like, they kind of have to go all in on him.
Are they still as close as they once were, Brad and John?
I don't know. You would...
It doesn't seem like it. But I think they're also two different guys.
Completely different personalities. Completely different.
Something that I think is interesting about the DC media not paying any attention to the Wizards is that, like, a lot of times, you know, a lot of those stories are just like about locker room stuff tends to get blown out of proportion, but you also never hear about that stuff otherwise. Like, I feel like in a more like heightened like media circumstance, you would have a better feel for what their relationship is like. I don't really ever hear anything about that.
Yeah, it can't be overlooked, because if your number one guy needs your number two guy is going to stay and he's going to get paid. Same way LeBron got the kid paid in Cleveland, I forget his name, but that center, he advocated for him and they paid him. So John Wall sees him as being vital to his own success, and John Wall is going to make sure that the boys upstairs put some money in his pocket.
Right. Although another sort of wrinkle to that dynamic is if Beal gets a max contract, he's going to be the highest paid player on the team.
Ooh.
Yeah, we already know that John doesn't really like having gotten his contract before the whole cap structure went up.
And, you know, made a point about he doesn't feel like he has the exposure or like sort of the respect within the game that he thinks he deserves. So I don't know. I feel like that's a huge dynamic that we don't really, or at least I don't really know enough about. But I would say do whatever John Wall tells you to do if you're the front office.
Yeah, I agree. He's for certain. He can't go anywhere. He's the franchise.
Do you want to gush about him for a minute, Malcolm? The reason what spurred you was John Wall back-to-back triple doubles. Those were good times. And hopefully we'll see more of him next year because we won't be seeing them in the postseason. But he had his best season ever and unfortunately is for a crap team. But he's been awesome.
He's just so nasty to watch play, man. I mean, I know I'm a homer and I'm biased, but the kid's speed, you can't stay in front of him. And if he wants to give you 25, he'll give you 25. If he wants to drop 10 dimes, he'll drop 10 dimes. If he wants to go get 10 boards, he'll go get 10 boards. And it's almost like when I heard Isaiah talking about him, Isaiah Thomas talking about him the other night, and they had this conversation one night. And Isaiah was telling him, you know, no longer focus on being the best point guard, but being the best player in the league. And I think that's kind of when these triple doubles started to emerge. And it's just been a pleasure to watch the transformation of his game. He used to play a step too fast. His speed was almost a blessing and a curse because mentally he would do things that his body wouldn't allow, you know. He was just moving too fast. And now it's like his game and his mind have caught up. And he's doing it with scrubs. He's not playing with good players. He's doing it with scrubs, which is all the more impressive to me. So, yeah. And he's doing it in the coolest Jordans out, like as a sneakerhead, like the shoes that he wore last night. I don't know if you guys are hip to all that, but like he wore these copper 17s that are just dope as hell. And so he's taking me back to my high school years in the coolest shoes that I used to see guys like Quentin Richardson and Darius Miles wear. And they were Team Jordan players. So it's just been awesome to see him do. And he's up for a shoe contract, too. So hopefully he'll stay in Jordan sneakers, which I'm a huge fan of. But
yeah, he's been.
I've got no more fun watching a player than John Wall in the league. No question.
He's been in limbo on that shoe deal for a while now. I think he was done with Adidas back in November or whatever. And you're spot on about his speed and him kind of transforming. I honestly think he's like. He could still get better. He's now realized he's done what LeBron did. He kind of like got over that mental hurdle. Like, hey, I can get into the lane just about any time that I want. Obviously, LeBron's different than John, but he's almost to the point where, you know, he will completely, you know, as the first option, forego a jump shot if he can, you know, get to the basket. He still loves that, you know, that those elbow twos. I guess playing with Randy Whitman so long will do that to you, but he's he's fantastic.
Yeah, I remember seeing some really good articles about his shot percentage and where he's knocking them down on the floor and where he's not. And those elbows, he's spot on from those elbows. And then he has his weak points. You know, he can't hit down open three-pointers yet. That's something that he needs to just go get in this offseason and work on. Like, you can see when guys make noticeable changes in their three-pointer, and it's usually just in dedication in the offseason. He needs to work on that because against Golden State, I was watching him the other night, and he's not pulling up fully confident. You know when a guy is fully confident in his jumper. He's letting go of it on his way up as he's ascending up. He's still not doing that completely. And then even on some open jump shots. So that, I think, would be that extra fold to his game if he's really going to go in the gym and challenge himself this offseason.
Well, let me also present this to you guys. Last night, Bradley Beal, he basically accused everyone of quitting. You know, John is definitely the leader on the court and like the best player, but is he, it kind of feels like he's not the, I mean, he probably isn't like the leader in the locker room. Not that like that is essential at all times. I mean, they would need someone else in there to do that going forward, but is that something he's got to work on? Or is that just, you know, some guys just don't have that gene. Like that's just not, you know, something that they do. I don't know. I feel like he could be lambasted for that a little bit. I'm not sure.
I don't think that kind of vocal I feel like that's like a common like media thing, that the best player on the team is supposed to be the guy that's in the locker room, like mm-hmm. telling everybody what they're supposed to be doing. But I don't think on a lot of teams that's really how it is. I don't think of Tim Duncan as like the guy in the locker room, like motivating everybody and telling them what they need to be doing. Some guys just lead by example with their play. I don't think Steph Curry like leads the Warriors like that. I mean, I don't know. I don't. Mm-hmm. He's just not that kind of guy, and he shouldn't need to be the person like your big brother in the locker room, like keeping your spirits up and keeping you motivated, and also carrying 100% of the burden on the floor. I don't think that's a fair thing to expect of him.
Yeah, I agree. I think every player is different, and that's where the scouting component comes in. You know, certain guys have certain qualities and different characteristics. That's what separates them. And Jordan's never been that vocal kind of guy. I feel like DeMarcus has more of that than John might. I could be wrong, just as a Cousins fan. But it's not Bradley. Bradley's just sort of the more quiet guy in the locker room. It's not John. That's just not his swag. But if I'm looking at the roster from this year to last year, Paul Pierce is the biggest difference, right? And we know what he did in terms of knocking down huge clutch threes. You guys probably saw a lot of them live. But in the locker room, that type of presence, that type of leadership, to bring two young cats together, and they look at him knowing you've been there, you've been to the promised land, you're everything that we want to achieve in this league. They listen to him with open ears, and it gives them a sense of confidence that we can't relate to because we haven't played on that type of level. But it's evident in the play, the lackadaisical mistakes that they made like they did last night, or against Golden State on defense, you don't make those when you have a dog on the court with you. I don't see a dog out there on the court. I don't know who it is in that locker room. It's not Garrett Temple. It's not Ramon Sessions. And it's not Jay Wall. For as nasty as Jay Wall is, Jay Wall loves to get his numbers. And he loves to get the team involved as well. But he's not going to be that vocal leader to bring all five guys together, or eight deep if you're running the squad that's eight deep, on a consistent basis to play, you know, as tough as possible. Paul Pierce did that.
I don't think it's, I think even though he hasn't played a whole lot for the Clippers, their success this season, I think, having like a stabilizing guy in the locker room like him, I think that helps. So I don't think it's an accident. They've been rolling without Blake Griffin too.
And I think that is kind of the danger of, I feel like Jared Dudley has probably been the closest thing to that on this Wizards team.
Oh yeah, that's true.
But that is sort of the danger of bringing in a vet gun for hire every year and then shipping him out, is you don't have like a Draymond Green who's come up with all those guys and is like the emotional leader and they all trust him and he's going to be there next year. And it's just not the same thing.
Yeah, I don't know where you go get a guy in free agency. You know, like,
I don't know, but I mean, the other thing is, ideally, a coach can
right.
not only instill that kind of attitude, but also sort of elevate his own people in like the leadership pecking order, and like do what Gary or what Whitman has done with Garrett Temple, and make somebody who sucks like a big part of your rotation because of whatever intangibles he brings. So ideally that trickles down, but if you're a coach who's been bitching about effort and hustle for 4 years, something is not getting through. It's not working.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's funny. We were talking about players leading the team and then really, oh yeah, there's a head coach there too. Forgot about that guy.
Yeah. And I don't think you can put that on a coach. Bradley talked about that last night. He said, we can blame Randy if we want to. But effort is a want. You either want it or you don't. And when I see guys not getting back on defense, you can't look at anyone else but yourself in the mirror on that. That's not a coach thing. He can't play for you. And so I think there has to be a leader on the court that holds everyone accountable on those kind of plays. Like, that's why Kobe Bryant smacks guys like Sasha Vujacic back in his prime. You know, he holds guys who suck accountable. And they raise their level of play the same way you were just talking about, elevating their game. We don't have that guy.
All right, Malcolm, anything else you, you'd like to get off your chest before we let you go this evening?
No, but I don't think the small ball is going to work for them. Not unless they find someone else to compliment. Well, I got a Porter in the lineup, so they kind of have something going there. But defense is what's going to win you championships. And I think if you guys are going to keep the podcast going, you know, after I hang up the phone, viewers or get guys engaged about talking about what kind of lineup this team can win with. Because we've tried to win small, and we got kicked out in the second round, even though we could have gone further. And we tried to win we tried to win big, and we only got so far. And we've gone small, it's only gone so far. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what kind of lineup we implement and what we can be successful with going forward.
All right. That is Malcolm Johnson at Malcolm's Media on Twitter. Thank you, sir, for joining us. We'll have to have you back. Whenever we shut the season down, shut the podcast down for the summer, we'll have you back on for a couple minutes.
Awesome. Always appreciate it, Swink. It's always been fun. Keep on doing what you're doing, man. You've been doing it for some time now.
All right. Big thanks again to our dear friend Malcolm Johnson for talking Wiz big picture shit with us. We're going to run through these games here. We don't really have to expound upon them for too long because some of them get quite depressing. And we'll start with arguably the worst and most depressing game of them all. The Wizards double overtime loss to the Timberwolves. I don't have a final score here in front of me. Let me pull it up.
Can you maybe edit this in post, but that like classic like horror movie where it's like a woman screaming?
I think that was pretty good right there.
Okay, just drop that in there. You want me to do it again?
Yeah. 132 to 129. Is that's it right there. I think it's the Wilhelm scream is what it's called.
I know that, but I feel like there's a different one where it's a woman.
Maybe that's like the Alfred Hitchcock.
Maybe. But it's like, I don't know. We'll find it.
I know what you're saying, Dave.
But you're right. I pretty much nailed it.
Yeah, so. I think so too. We probably don't even have to worry about it. Mm-mm. So the Wiz, when we were looking ahead, we were like, okay, like they're going to lose to Golden State, but they can probably win these three other games. So they fucking should win these three other games if they are playoff worthy. And clearly they're not because they botched this game at home, double overtime, like I said. And, you know, this actually brings up a fun game that we used to play. Let's bring it back. What were you doing instead of watching the Wizards shit themselves? We were having a fine time on Friday night.
We were.
I was really excited because I like it. So we went out to dinner with my brother. It was his fiance.
All right, that's what we'll drop in there.
So we went out to dinner. It was my brother. His fiance, it was her birthday. My girlfriend, Dave's lovely lady. And I always get excited when we go out together when you bust the phone out at the table to turn the game on. That is always a highlight there. And obviously, we had to shut it down very quickly because that was gross. It was too gross for the dinner table.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, so we went out. We went to Medium Rare, excellent spot if you're in the district. Went out on H Street, and I didn't even really know the game was still going on until you showed up at the bar and were like, hey, the Wizards lost in double overtime, and it's sad. Really, they started the game playing no defense. The score was tied at 62 at half. That ugly pick and roll defense rearing its head. Tyus Jones having his way. It's bad times, everyone. Just an absolute disaster. The Wiz were up with a couple, you know, with what was it, between 1-2 minutes left. Gorgui Dieng had a 3-point play. Wiz with a 24-second violation. Nene misses a free throw. Just an absolute calamity going down the stretch to basically hand the Timberwolves overtime.
Did Gortat miss those two free throws in overtime or
overtime?
Overtime.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the Wiz, they had shots to win it, but they ended both overtimes, or I guess to tie with the Dudley three. So, I mean, I don't know. This is a disaster. You can't lose the Timberwolves at home when your home games especially are fleeting because you don't play well on the road. So you're going to blow it to this shit squad. And yeah, I think that's probably – once that happened, our thought was like, it's over, guys. It's just done. Not a whole lot to see here.
I mean, I honestly – I wasn't totally out until – was the – when was the Pistons Thunder –
that was on Monday night, if I believe.
Yeah, so that was because, you know, I assumed the Pistons were going to lose to the Thunder. And no, it was on Tuesday. I thought they were definitely going to lose that game. And then if we beat the Kings, I think it's 2.5 games at that point. So I wasn't like totally out. I thought terrible loss. You just need like a good win to make up for it. And then none of that happened.
Well, that's probably why you sound so much more disappointed than myself or Malcolm, because you were holding out hope as recently until Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
I stuck a fork in it just like I did that delicious steak on Friday. So that's bad times there. They go to Los Angeles. I think it's weird. I don't know. They did this in baseball recently with like Mariano Rivera and Derek Jeter. Like, I guess it's different because I like the Orioles and they play in the same division. But like, everyone's like, oh, the Wizards' last game against Kobe. Like, I understand that, you know, Kobe Bryant is great and this is it for him. But like, I just don't care. Like, that is so irrelevant to me. He did. I mean, obviously, he torched the Wizards the last time he showed up in the phone booth. And he did have three threes in the first quarter of this game, but pretty much a non-factor. He's at the end of his rope here.
I mean, I feel like if you really valued Kobe Bryant, like really liked him as a basketball player, this is just me personally. I think he's like made a complete mockery of his whole career this season. I haven't enjoyed watching any of it. I don't really have any interest in watching it. It just seems pretty silly to me what he's doing out there.
Who do they played? I don't remember. I don't know who they played last night, but there was this shot of him, like a GIF going around the internet today of him ice packs on his elbows and his knees, so four ice packs, just
right.
Totally wrapped up.
After he played 8 minutes, shot one of seven.
Seven shots in 8 minutes.
And was a minus 13 in 8 minutes. Yeah.
Oh, man.
So, I don't know. Yeah, seven shots and a turnover in 8 minutes. I don't know why anybody, if like Kobe the basketball players, I don't know why you would want to see him unless just to like taunt his nearly dead body.
He was also, I guess it was last night, just trying to give D'Angelo Russell a pep talk. That guy. What a disaster of a situation, man. Thank God the Wiz didn't lose to the Lakers, because if they would have lost to the Lakers and the Kings, I think they could have just like usurped the title of most dysfunctional team from both of those guys. But
D'Angelo
Russell, learn how to use Snapchat.
It's sad though. At least those teams have like excuses, like real dysfunction, like fucked up things happening. The Wizards are just bad and just like normal shit happening to them.
That's a good point.
Just like bad decisions, bad players. Injuries. It's not even anything interesting.
That's very true. It's very dry. Putting together this note sheet, not the most exciting thing.
It's not like a train wreck you can watch. It's just like a train's engine deteriorating. It's like that'll just happen. You have a train for long enough. It's just like a normal. It fucking sucks.
Are you going to watch? You're a big Kobe, or you were a big Kobe Bryant guy. Are you going to watch his last game or his last game at the Staples Center?
I don't think I've gone out of my way to watch any Lakers games at all, really.
So you won't be? No, sorry, that's the wrong one. This is how you would be. You're not going to be like that.
No, I don't really.
That's a shame. Not really, I guess, considering your stakeout on the whole thing. All right, well. Last time the Wizards will ever see Kobe, if that's, you know, a thing you care about. The Wizards, I know at least Ernie listens to the pod. We've gotten tips before. And he should have fucking listened to me last week when I said, rest everyone against Golden State. You're not going to win at the Oracle. It's not happening. They haven't lost in like over 400 days there. It's insane. And at any other point in the season, this would have been like a moral victory. You know, people can be like, oh, there are no such things. But like playing well against the what could be the best regular season team ever, that means a little something unless your playoff hopes are, you know, on their deathbed. So,
I mean, they played them straight for probably three quarters of that mm-hmm. game. Same with the first time they played.
Yeah.
You know, but that other quarter will get you.
Especially the last one.
I mean, when Draymond Green just started hitting threes and, like, it was all just a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah. I think the best thing, by the way, the Wizards lost 104-92. The best thing that happened, without a doubt, was the revelation that Randy Whitman and Craig Sager were once business partners in Atlanta. That is tremendous. They owned a bar, which this... You literally can't make it up, Dave. It was called Jocks and Jills, which is the most deliciously generic Randy Whitman thing I've ever... This is top of the list right here.
Right.
Over his bad suits, his like folksy speak, his love for Indiana, this goes right to the top of the list.
It is. Like, so it's a sports bar, and the name of it is basically just like sportsmen and women. It's just like the...
If you're a sports guy, you can come here and you can bring your non-sports lady.
And then the other thing I was thinking is, who do you think is, like, don't you think there's a good argument that Randy Whitman is a much worse dresser than Craig Sager?
Yeah, I think so.
At least Craig Sager's doing a bit, like, he's expressing something.
And he could go, you know, there are parts of this country where he could show up and people are like, oh, man, he looks good. Like, Randy Whitman cannot go anywhere, and no one will ever think that of him. So that's definitely how he loses out.
I'm gonna miss that the most about him, how as a 6'8", 50-year-old man, he somehow looks like a 13-year-old wearing his dad's clothes.
He really does, especially when he drops his jaw. It's just like a, I don't know. It's like a teenager, just like with a wild, like, I don't know. You know, when you're like 13 or 14 and you're like just jacked up on Mountain Dew and you're like ready to like fly. I don't know. That's what happened. Like before you like leap out your front door into the world, your head cocks back, expose your teeth. Although he's a little more docile than that.
Or Randy.
I thought you were going to take a Craig Sager turn there. We don't have to get into that because that's just sad. But mm-hmm. So the Wizards, they were in it till the fourth quarter in this one, which, as we said, should be a nice thing. But the Wizards suck, so we're not allowed to have nice things. And they suck so bad that they turned the 29-win Sacramento Kings into the 30-win Sacramento Kings in Sacramento, 120-111. Mostly looking dysfunctional for the entire night. Definitely among their worst defensive games. They've given up 120 points 8 times this year. Even when they did it against, like, I guess the Warriors are a bad example. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but they looked particularly bad last night. Like, I think Brad was right to say that they gave up because, I mean, there were a couple times that the Kings would just score on the break and the entire team was stuck in between like the three-point, like the tops of the three-point lines, like just right at dead center court, and Omri Caspi is just streaking down the sidelines.
The transition defense has been so atrocious all year. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. They have had stretches where they played really good defense, and then other times they just do the dumbest shit. I feel like a lot of defensive stuff that is happening is way over my head. I'm not aware of like the switches and whatever the fuck they're supposed to be doing. But even like as a viewer, you can be like, oh, well, you probably shouldn't let that guy just walk to the hoop. And nobody even ever seems like upset about it. They're just like, oh, well, that was you. I'll get the next one. Like, I'm up next to not give a shit on defense.
Well, that was the thing, the play I was describing. I don't remember when it was, maybe the second or third quarter. But they literally, they were all like in the same spot, and they all just kind of like shrugged collectively and then just jogged back on defense. Like, ah, oh, dang it. It'll be okay. To make things even worse, they were extra sloppy with the ball. They had 20 turnovers, which is always good. Like atrociously sloppy too, like just really dumb stuff. Brad sounded off after the game. He was not pleased. I can run through a couple of these here. He says, we bark too much. We say what we need to do. We scream at each other. We can even try to blame Witt if we want to, but at the end of the day, we're still the ones playing and we still beat ourselves. We just do dumb mental lapses that just messes up your game and ends up hurting us in the long run. To me, it felt like we gave that game up. I guess we kind of figured we're already in the playoffs for some reason. It's either that or we want to get to the offseason. But as far as why, I have no idea.
You want to like dive into that?
There's just, I mean, I even skipped over a line here. We do dumb stuff on the floor.
And so then, what was that Twitter account that was like, should Brad have done this?
Hoops
and then,
District.
And then Gortat tweeted no, and then deleted it. And then Bradley Beal's brother tweeted, did you see that?
I did not. I didn't realize that was the next point in the saga.
That was like, he's doing what a leader should do. Like, he was holding himself accountable too. What is your take on all of that?
Well, I think Brad's definitely got a point. And I'd imagine that the tension between the guys has been running high for a long time. So this was just, I'm actually surprised we haven't heard anything like this before. You know, like you said, that a lot of times we just hear the bad things and, you know, everything bad we've heard has been kind of minor. This has been like the first major dust up, and definitely the first one caused by Brad, I'd say. I can understand why Gortat would be miffed by it, and he often takes to Twitter to speak his mind, so I don't really, I'm not upset with him there. I hate when the family members or the friends get involved.
His brothers seem like, yeah, not a fan.
He deleted his tweet, it looks like. His Twitter profile. Well, first of all, his Twitter picture is,
he's like a bodybuilder, right?
Well, he's like laying. It's like a picture of him. I guess he must have his phone on his stomach, and he's like laying on a bed or something with a hat kind of over his face. Bio reads "Real Deal Beal Management Global World Technology LLC," which sounds like something you'd find in a phone book from 1996. But
he's working on a couple apps. Okay.
I don't really like the, especially this sort of thing where it's not so cut and dry. I mean, this never ever works out well when the brother, the sister, the mom starts tweeting, running their mouth on Facebook. This is even more gray, so I'm sure it'll cause more problems.
I mean, about Beal's original comment, I think all of it is 100% true.
Well, it's like everything we said right before.
All of it is totally accurate. I don't think there's any reason for him to say it. Especially with like the way that he said it. Like, sure, he's saying we and like including himself in it, but there's a lot of stuff in there where it's like I guess that's just the kind of team we are now. Like,
yeah.
And fair or not, you know, he can't control if he gets hurt. You've been out like half the season.
Right.
I don't know how much you can really. Other guys have been picking up your slack, regardless of, you know, it's not your fault that you're out, but other guys have had to do a lot of shit because you weren't there.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's the big other side of things. It just hasn't been available.
And I think I feel like I'm always feeling the need to stand up for Gortat. Like, how is he the scapegoat for being the only other player that's always good on the team?
Right.
He missed a couple free throws. Sometimes he has a bad defensive game. Sometimes he has a bad offensive game. You know who also does that? Every single player on the team except John Wall. The only thing is Gortat is good 8 or 9 out of 10 games. So
I mean, I feel like he scores like 19 and 12 every single night.
And you can tell that it really bothers him that he doesn't get the credit. If he wasn't around,
it would be way worse.
It would be a disaster. A lot of his success comes from playing with Wall, but they've been a two-man team for probably half the season this year.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah, it would be, when they get the new coach in, hopefully he gives Martian his due. Unfortunate it's all kind of unraveling like this, but this is what happens when you sky-high expectations, missing the playoffs, real big disaster. And as Malcolm said earlier, it really bums me out watching the other teams in the East, knowing how ripe everyone is for the picking.
Well, that's why I put on this Bulls-Rockets game, so that we could at least watch two other teams that are also super disappointing this year and know that there are tens of thousands of fans out there watching this and being super disappointed.
Way, way more fans probably for either fan base than the Wizards too. So we've come full circle here. And I think it's, if the Wizards they beat Sacramento, they beat the Timberwolves, the whole tune of this podcast has drastically changed. But unfortunately they are now 3.5 games out of the 8 slot, which they're now competing not only the Bulls, but the Pacers, who had the tiebreaker over them. And really, I mean, that's kind of where this – I mean, they've been on the slide for a while, but, like, that Pacers loss a couple weeks ago was just absolutely brutal. They lost in dumb fashion, like Brad Beal said, for all those just nonsensical reasons. And here we are. They are, reaping what they sowed. So, all righty.
When did you turn off the Kings game?
Couple minutes into the fourth quarter. I said, you know what? This probably isn't going to go the way I want it to. And if it is long and dragged out, I'd rather get some shut eye. I recorded it just in case they won. I woke up and actually, about 3 o'clock in the morning, this is sad. It was the first thing that came to my mind when I woke up, and I immediately picked up my phone, saw they lost, and, that was it. Did you stay up for the whole thing?
No. I was awake, but I stopped watching.
Okay. What'd you watch instead?
Watching The Office, I think.
Plowing back through it.
Nice palate cleanser. And I feel kind of dumb that it took me this long, but that was when I was like, okay, this is definitely not going to happen. Season's over. It reminded me of when I would finally drop a class in college that I had been failing all along, and you're like trying to figure out ways in your head, like, all right, well, if I just get 100 on this paper, go to enough classes where I can get my attendance percentage up, do all these homework assignments, and then finally you're just like, oh, well, that's never going to happen. I should just drop it. And it's very freeing when you're just like, oh, well, there's no expectation now. I don't have to worry about this anymore.
Absolutely. I mean, my evenings are freeing up with Maryland out of the NCAA tournament and the Wizards exiting early. I mean, the Wizards, they made it to the second round. We were cranking. At this point, we were like, we were just in stride with the Wiz. Like, we're ready to go, ready for playoffs. And, so it sounds like we're going to have to do an end of year Zard party again and get really drunk, which doesn't sound like the worst thing to me. Mm-mm. So be on the lookout for the end of year Zard party. I think we should try and get more people in the fold to do that, but to just power hour essentially.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Or we could just try to get a bunch of people we could just open up like phone lines.
Yeah, for sure.
Say, DM us your phone number,
and we'll give you a jangle.
Yeah,
I think that might be a good idea. We could have some friends of the pod who've been on before. I'm sure we got a lot of angry friends out there in the Wizards blogosphere, podsphere. All right, let's play This Week in John Wall. And then maybe a small pop culture detour before we get out of here.
Let's do it.
Me, wash it. John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall. John Wall.
John was just a boy.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall, the Washington Wizards.
A spectacular circuit shot by John Wall.
Everybody know it, John Wall. John Wall.
So saw John's mom on sitting courtside for the Lakers game and the Kings game. Boogie went over and gave her a hug, I believe, at halftime, which was cute. Also, non-court related John news, he slash his foundation donated 10 suits to 10 high school seniors going to prom. How sweet is he? Love that.
Pretty sweet.
I liked when, you know, he ref the Special Olympics game recently. He did this. I like when I have like good John news, I can tell my girlfriend and she's like, oh, that John is so nice. Like mm-hmm. She acts like she knows him on a like, you know, a friendly basis. So like that. He's turning the ball over a lot though, which you don't really like. He didn't really shoot well against the Warriors. That's all right. The season's
he
over.
He hasn't shot well for 3 months.
That's okay.
But you know what I was thinking about today?
The season ends. You guys might be friends again. You might give me a call.
That for sure. I don't want to jinx it. But just that, I mentioned earlier, like a sort of a, maybe a negative side effect of like the lack of media coverage on the Wizards is that we don't get all this like innuendo that it's probably bad for the team overall, but interesting to listen to. But that, other than something dumb that I heard Tony Kornheiser might have said, which I didn't really pay any attention to, there haven't been any people like turning on John Wall this year, which is a thing that happens on almost every other team when their team sucks mm-hmm. Toward their best player. Like Carmelo Anthony has gotten it all the time. Cousins gets it.
Well, I think it helps that he's like not an outright douche.
Yeah. But I mean, even, yeah, I just think it's like a testament to how good he is, how like undisputably, there's no one that can credibly say like he's holding the Wizards back or he's mm-hmm. not as good as like people think that he is. He just clearly is and the team is shit around him. If you had said that they finished this season with like, I don't know, 38, 39 wins, whatever it's going to be, I would have thought that his reputation or like his standing would have taken a hit, but it really hasn't for me. I mean, mm-hmm. he's just had nothing to work with all year.
Absolutely. Sad. Hopefully we'll see him in the playoffs next year. Cause he, I mean, this is definitely a wasted year of John's prime. Not that that's like something to hang on because that happens to everyone.
Right.
But you know, unfortunate to say, I mean, cause he really is out there trying his damnedest every night.
Right.
And, you know, like you said, not a thing that a lot of superstars do. I mean, Carmelo Anthony consistently goes out and dogs it. I don't watch a whole lot of the Sacramento Kings, but I know Boogie, he turns in 30-point nights consistently. So, you know, bit of a variation there. But, all right. Shall we put a bow on it with a pop, pop, pop culture detour?
That was a good sound drop.
Thanks. New one. New button on here. Getting it a workout. I won't press it again, though. I don't want to overuse it. We got a big week ahead of us, Dave. OJ finale. Walking Dead finale. These are two big shows in our household here. I think you've kind of... your eyes are getting wide because you've kind of soured on Walking Dead over the last couple weeks. Maybe not soured, but you're... You've tempered off a little bit.
I feel like Rick just hasn't killed anybody in too long. I guess he killed that one guy, like cut his throat. Or he
well, they did the raid on the Savior's compound.
That was pretty cool. That's right.
And he went badass on the zombie horde in Alexandria.
True.
He like lost his mind.
I guess maybe when I got way back into Walking Dead was when he had finally like embraced like that he just wanted to kill everybody, and I was just experiencing that high and running with it for a long time. But now, I mean, it's not as dynamic now that he's just like, this is what I do now instead of like,
Right? He's got to be like a leader too, you know. He's always been the leader, obviously, but now that they're like trying to reform society, he's got to be a little more restrained, I suppose. I don't like, although it doesn't like take me out of it, a lot of the characters have gotten really dumb on there. Rick's conversation with Morgan at the end of the last episode, when Morgan just conveniently overlooked that the wolf like threw Denise out. He was the reason that they were outside. He's like, she saved their life.
Or that they all just left. Like, right. Every one of them just left the compound. That's crazy.
Yeah. Carol's like, oh, I don't want to kill anyone, so I better get out of here as fast as I can.
I'm so tired of that. Are they going to do that with every character? They're like, oh, I don't want to kill anybody. Like, you fucking have to. They're zombies and, like, cannibals.
Right. If cannibals don't spur you on to, like, start kicking ass, I really hope, though, that, you know, I was watching it. I hope that Carol saves the day, but I don't think it'll be as dramatic as it was against the cannibals. I think she'll just end up saving Rick or end up saving Morgan in like a bad spot.
Maybe she'll just go out in like a final blaze of glory. I would be okay with that. Yeah, I feel like her arc has kind of come to an end.
I feel like Daryl probably on the same chopping block too. I don't think he's dead. I think he just got shot.
He never really had an arc to begin with.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm tired of looking at his greasy hair. At no point, like, you could have so easily had a scene where he, like, bonds with a female character who's like, let me wash and cut your hair.
Oh.
That's so
easy. Is that
easy.
What you've been thinking about?
That's like TV screenwriting 101. Like, oh, let me shave you. Come on. And then they never did it. Why? Does he have a weird mole on that part of his forehead? So what? We can accept that. It's the apocalypse. You're going to see some ugly stuff.
For sure. I mean, zombies, for one. Do you think who gets the Negan baseball bat with the barbed wire to the head? We saw some foreshadowing when they went to the compound, you know, the Polaroids on the wall.
Right.
Those were definitely some bashed out heads from old Negan. I feel like it's either Glenn or Daryl. Maybe both. I think they both might get it.
I don't know. That's the thing. It's like it doesn't really matter, like, right, any of it.
Well, that's why I enjoy it. Just mindless action adventure drama.
I feel like they should embrace that and just go more mindless. Just have these people be straight up savages that just kill everybody. Mm-hmm. Make it like a video game that you just watch and like don't even have to play.
Yeah, I'm all for that. Speaking of video games that you like to watch but don't even have to play, the OJ finale. we've talked about this before. I don't really know that much about the OJ trial. I didn't realize that Mark Furman, I knew that he was like a big time racist, but I didn't realize that there were tapes that like backed it up. And I also didn't realize he's on Fox News.
Yeah.
I'm glad that came to light.
I saw somebody, I don't know if they were being serious or sarcastic. I like think they were being serious, but because Bomani Jones tweets about it a lot. Mm-hmm. The show, and somebody tweeted at him, do you think Fox News will face pressure to fire Mark Furman after people find out about what he said? And he just she's for like all caps like
I feel like an idiot for like not knowing any of that, but like how would I know? I was like five, so interesting though. We'll be intrigued to see it all come to an end. It's been riveting as someone who doesn't know anything about it. I feel like a lot of people who like lived through it aren't down, but like younger folks like us millennials are into it. So I'm excited for the finale. It'll be a good week in television. Hey, we don't really have to worry about watching The Wizard, so we got that going for us. Hmm. Anything else you want to discuss, Dave, before we get out of here?
I know that on our last podcast, I expressed some like cautious optimism about Batman v Superman, and the next day, all the reviews came out and were super negative. And I just want you guys all to know that there's not any review negative enough to make me not go see that movie and enjoy the shit out of it.
But you haven't seen it yet.
No, but I'm just saying I'm not. swayed by any of these media elites who don't really understand Batman anyways.
Can the listeners expect to have a review next podcast?
Honestly, the reviewers can expect me to do the entire next podcast in my Batman voice.
Is one of the reasons you like Rick so much is because he speaks like Batman, the dark, the growly voice.
He's not wearing hockey pads. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, yeah, he's definitely like the Batman of The Walking Dead. So,
well, I can't wait to hear the entire pod in your Batman voice, possibly your Batman costume, but we'll have to alert the listeners to that since it's non-visual medium.
Yeah, that'll be fine. I feel like they'll get it.
All right. Sounds good. Let's get out of here on that. Follow us on Twitter at Zardcast. Subscribe. Definitely tell a friend, everyone. That would be very, very kind of you.
Tell two friends.
Two, I mean.
And your parents.
Your parents will definitely listen.
And your pastor / rabbi.
Is that the demo we want to be going for?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. I mean, they do have like big sway in the community, so, but you know, you're right. Maybe those are like the gatekeepers, the tribe leaders, if you will.
Plus,
no pun intended for the Jews there.
What else do those people have to do?
It's true. A lot of free time.
They could just run through the whole archive in a few days.
Pretty easy to find, Zardcast.com, broken up by months on the left side of the page there. So,
and if you're trying to listen on a Sunday and, you know, or a Saturday, I guess, and you're not allowed to work the thing, I'll come over and I'll do it for you. What is that thing called?
That is,
or the person called, you know what I'm talking
about?
Oh,
I don't know what the person's called.
But it's like a non-Jewish person that comes over and works their lights and stuff.
Yeah. When they're doing Shabbat.
Yeah. I'll be that for you.
All right. Get at us at Zardcast if you need someone to turn your phone on, your computer, whatever device you may use, because you can listen to Zardcast on all of them, for sure. So, for my co-host, David Keffer, big thanks again to Malcolm Johnson. I'm CT Schwenk. That was Zardcast.